Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are live. What's up, everybody? Welcome to West by Pod, a podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and Mo Bamba. I'm Joel Bracken at WV Stats Guy. He's Jordan Pinto at Game Day Shorts, and we are kicking off the summer series of deep dives for all the opponents for West Virginia football 2024 season. How are you feeling, Jordan? You ready to talk a little ball?
This EA Sports slander against West Virginia will not stand. It will not stand. The fact Mo Bamba makes it in the fucking game, but they're not going to get Country Roads. They only have 50 mascots. Who knows if they have the Mountaineer? Like, literally in the video release today, we're recording this on, what, Wednesday the 26th, they did the sights and sounds. Not even one second of footage of West Virginia in the game. I'm pretty sure we're in it. I think we are.
We often, as a team.
But, like, yeah, no. Still incredibly excited for the game. Yeah, dude, I'm good. As is always the case, you know, I think we did our pod, what, we recorded like 2 weeks ago, the last one, or kind of like the like, hey, we're back. And I am all the way back, dude. Just plugging into Penn State and Pitt, especially, like, it just, the juices are flowing. This is going to be the longest 2 months of my fucking life. I don't know what I'm going to do for the next 2 months. Like, thank God NCAA comes out like halfway through so that at least I have something to distract me in July and August. But, like, God, like, it needs to be August 31st, like, immediately.
No, I feel that. NCAA coming out is going to be an extra ramp of excitement, like, for the offseason, just building into the season. You're already going to be, like, four natties deep into a dynasty you know, ready to see the real thing. So, so this is our first episode back for the sort of summer deep dive series. We're going to cover Penn State in this one. So we're actually going to change the format a little this year. Just in terms of, instead of doing two an episode, we're going to do separate episodes for every team. There'll be shorter individual episodes. We're going to try to hold it to like 30 minutes per team. Episode will be a little longer if we got additional topics, but that'll be our mark. That's our goal to hit for each team. Give you the information you need to know. And also we have some fun new additions like the Climb Index. So we'll get to talk through those when we get into the first deep dive Penn State. Just one additional topic, I think, just before we get into the Nittany Lions recruiting. A little bit of excitement on Twitter this week. I think West Virginia, some early commitment, a quarterback with a great name. I think that was the big call. But Jordan, you're our recruiting expert. How is the landscape for the Mountaineers looking?
Yeah, man, it's going really well. It's been a fruitful June. I think our class is like 95% finished in June, which is insane. I think we have 20 dudes committed, 20 high school dudes committed in the class of 25 already, which is, you know, way ahead of where we've been in previous years. So, you know, Neil Brown winning hearts and minds, just getting these young men and their families on campus, selling a culture, selling an environment, selling a family atmosphere. And clearly people are digging it, you know, because you don't get 20 people on board in June if people aren't digging it. You know, I think pretty good class of 25, really liking some of the things we've seen there over the last couple weeks. I think we already kind of covered some of that stuff. I don't know if there's been any huge news. You know, I think we had Evan Powell committed. He's not currently rated on either 247 or 1. So I imagine he'll have a rating here soon. But yeah, the big news, man, class of 26, we got our quarterback. You know, I think our MO there has been one quarterback a class. And the class of 26 dude's a 4-star. You know, and I think some people have him as high as like the 12th rated prospect in the country that year, to as low as, you know, maybe the 25th, 26th. But that is a range you will absolutely live with. And yeah, I think the big thing there is, you know, this isn't a Nico Markiel situation where he's decommitting from Florida State and then we're picking him up kind of later in the cycle, right? It's a dude who's committing 18 months ahead of schedule, and it's going to be a fight to get him to sign. You know, like if we shit the bed this year, who knows if he sticks around? But yeah, I mean, quarterbacks are foundational pieces in recruiting, right? Like this is a dude who can go out there and every receiver that we get on campus, he can text him and be like, "Hey, man, let's climb together." You know, it's easier if you hitch your rope to me, we hook up together. That way, if one of us falls, you know, we're not tumbling all the way down the mountain. But he's, yeah, Brody McWhorter, like what a great name. And dude, you watch him play and it's just very easy to see why Tyler Allen, why Neil Brown really like him. Kind of lanky at this point, which, you know, probably expected for a sophomore in high school, but moves pretty well. You know, I wouldn't say moves as well as Garrett Green does. Probably closer to Markiel, maybe a little bit better than Markiel. But man, he throws a really, really nice ball. Really nice touch on his deep passes, which is obviously something that we, as of last year, have decided is going to be one of our things. So you know, I think it's easy to see the fit both ways. It's probably, you know, that's why he probably digs us. It's definitely why we dig him. So huge pickup, very exciting, off and running in 2026 already. It's crazy that that's the world we live in, but that's just, you know, that's how it is. I mean, we have offers at class of 27 already. So
always be recruiting.
Got to reload. So yeah, huge pickup, very exciting week.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for the new NCAA where I'm going to be recruiting high school sophomores and freshmen, and also players on the other teams that I'm playing against at the same time. There's that many guys who are out in the recruiting, you know, world right now that they're keeping eyes on everybody. If you're good, you will be found by somebody. It's crazy the work they do.
Dude, CFB, I'm clocking in. I'm pulling a Chad Scott. I'm clocking in at 4:30 every morning, and I'm not signing off until about 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, maybe there's time for work. Maybe there's time for family. Mm. But, you know, classes aren't going to sign themselves. So, hey.
It's true. Yeah, you got to be out there banging doors.
Sliding into DMs.
Yeah, you need to write a chat bot to slide in all these high schoolers' DMs for recruiting purposes.
Absolutely.
All right. So, are you ready to start the summer series? Are you ready to talk the first game on the calendar, Penn State?
I can't fucking wait. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. I'm going to put 30-ish minutes on the clock, PTI style. And
we'll for the record, I got the over, and I'm in a position to make that hit. So
that's fine. it's just for pacing, just to keep us honest. Because we do have a tendency to be hour six, no matter what the topic. If we do two teams, we do one.
First team ends at 25 minutes. We'll go for 40 about the second, without fail.
It always evens out. All right. Without further ado, Penn State. All right. So I guess I'll set the sort of last season table here. So last year they were 10-3, second consecutive season where they pretty much just beat everybody and lost to Michigan and Ohio State. I had the vibe around the program I wrote down as good to great team purgatory, where it's like, you know, you're going to win all the games. They won't be exciting. And the two you really need to get up for, you can't win those. And it's just a weird, weird place to be. So last year, 10-3, like I said, the two losses in the Big Ten, they also lost to Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl. They lost at Ohio State by 8, lost to Michigan at home by 9. They beat West Virginia to start the season 38-15, and they really didn't play many close games. Like, every game was one way. You know, they kept the Michigan and Ohio State game pretty close, but they weren't enough in the end. Last year, they were 18th in beta rank offense and 4th in beta rank defense. So it's definitely the best defense West Virginia played. I would have to check. It's the best offense of all the Big 12 teams that are current Big 12 teams, other than Kansas last year. I didn't check Oklahoma and Texas because they're dead to me now. And that's not what this pod's about. So, that was kind of Penn State's season. I like I said, my vibe around the program was just that weird purgatory of being really good, but not being the big dog. I don't know what the feeling with, head coach, James Franklin, it's his 11th season. Things are good. They're not great, but I don't know. Can you complain about a 10-3 season? Maybe you can. What'd you think of Penn State last year? Did you watch much of them other than season opener?
I mean, you could complain about it, but you'd be kind of an asshole if you did, you know, but, I watched them here and there. The 18th ranked, the beta rank offense number was a little surprising to me. But you're right. I mean, it did feel like they, regardless of what happened in a game, no matter how shitty they looked, how good they looked, they always kind of found their way to 30 to 35 points. The season as a whole, I mean, like you said, it unfolded exactly as expected. I think the takeaway, for better or worse, is maybe just like a whiff of disappointment in the way Drew Aller played, especially the way he started against us, right? Like, he looked fantastic against us. Mm-hmm. Turns out it was by far his best game of the season. You said they lost by 8-9 to Michigan and Ohio State. You know, didn't have quite enough pop, I don't think, in the offense with him at the helm last year. I was kind of trying to think about it. And you know how, like, you're driving along a beach or something like that, and you're in the floodplain, and you see the houses on, like, the stilts. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, that's just like a little house on stilts. That's kind of like what Drew Aller was to me last year, right? Like, it's just a nice high floor. Nice high floor. He didn't fuck him up. He didn't turn the ball over. But if you look at his yards per attempt, like average depth of target, big time throw percentage, all that stuff, bottom quarter of FBS. So just like a nice high floor with a really low ceiling. So I think that's kind of what's going to define this offense this year. Like, can he add, a nice little rooftop patio, maybe spring for a loft, get a contractor in there and put a little loft on the top of the house. I think, like, you look at this offense, they were kind of towards the bottom half of Power 5 in explosives, play efficiency. Actually gave up kind of a lot of negative plays. Not Drew Aller specifically, but, like, you know, I think there were some losses in the run game. I think that was kind of another thing last year with them is Singleton and Catron Allen were both super hyped coming into last year because they had awesome freshman seasons, and they were just kind of the same players. They didn't kind of take the step forward that you see a lot with sophomores. They were, best team we played by a considerable margin, I felt like. So who am I to talk? But
yeah, it's weird to say that they were the best. They probably were the best team we played. And like I said, they just kind of sat in that sweet spot where most of their games were not competitive that they won. And then, they weren't good enough to compete with the big dogs. Looking at this year, their schedule is, they have, the Big Ten's changed now. They have USC, UCLA, and Washington on the schedule, which changes their dynamic a little bit. I do feel like at least two of those teams should be competition and maybe at a similar level as them. Like, a Penn State-Washington could be a really interesting matchup, or USC. Mm-hmm. That could sort of provide, like, another data point to see where Penn State was, because I've always felt like the Big Ten in the last few years is just, like, a couple good teams and everyone else is not that good at all. Yeah. So they just sat in the middle of that. So just real quick on the coaches. I mentioned James Franklin, 11th year, I think. Pretty positive with him. They've had success. They haven't gotten all the way over the hump, but they've been pretty good a lot of years.
Especially lately, right? They're on a nice little run here the last three, 4 years, really since COVID. They've been
really good. Yeah, they have lost very few Big Ten games in the last few years that were not to OSU or Michigan. So definitely established in the top echelon there. And then I think the really big conversation with the coaching staff is the new offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki. His first season, you might remember him from last year's or previous year's deep dives when we talked about Kansas. He was the Kansas offensive coordinator, and he was also the associate head coach there. So I really, in theory, like the fit with the, you know, the mobile quarterback, just seeing what they did at Kansas with all the usage of different quarterbacks. It wasn't even one. They had multiple guys in there during his time that were really productive, both in the air and on the ground. I feel like that fits like your stereotypical Penn State quarterback. And yeah, your old OC, Mike Yurkich, was fired after they lost to Michigan. So I think definitely an upgrade in the offensive coordinator. I think that's a step for this guy coming out of Kansas. DC, we got Tom Allen. It's his first year. He was at Indiana for the last 7 years as the head coach. And now Manny Diaz was your old DC. Like we mentioned, they were like a top five defense last year. Manny Diaz is now at Duke.
Yep. So some transition there. I think, you know, starting with Kotelnicki, I mean, there's not a guy. You want to talk about a guy who just does like cool shit to get people in positions to make plays. Like there's probably not anybody, I'd say, at the power four level. Like at the lower levels, there's some really creative dudes who are doing weird stuff just because they don't have the caliber of athlete that there is at the power four level. But like as far as power four goes, like who has had a cooler offense than Kansas the last 2 years? You know, I can't think of many teams. It's just like this new age triple option bullshit. Like you said, Jalen Daniels, Jason Bean, didn't matter who was in there. You know, fantastic. I think you look, Kansas more than doubled their explosive play output from 2021 to 22-23. You know, so from Kotelnicki's first year there to then his second and third year. You know, went from like, I want to say like mid-40s, 20-plus yard plays to like 80 and 90 20 plus yard plays, which is just like an insane, you know, an insane jump. So, I think that is like the single most important addition of anybody in Penn State. They have some really nice portal players coming in. Some very good freshmen coming in that we'll talk about when we get into the offense and defense, but, I'm not sure any of them are going to, I mean, I am sure none of them are going to have a bigger impact on them than Kotelnicki. As far as like the fit, you know, Drew Aller, good athlete, good runner. I don't think he's not as good of an athlete as Jason Bean or Jalen Daniels are. So it'll be interesting, but certainly capable of contributing to the run game. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to have some fun stuff. They have two running backs that I don't think they used at the same time a whole lot last year. It was more kind of like a, you know, okay, you take your turn, then I'm going to take my turn kind of thing. I expect we see way more two running back sets out of them this year just because, you know, that's what they did at Kansas. Kansas had two or three running backs who they found ways to get touches all the time. And especially with, you know, there's kind of a void. I'm sure there's a ton of talent there, but there's a void of established playmakers at wide receiver. So I can see them getting really creative with how they get the running backs involved in the passing game and all that kind of stuff. Defensively, Diaz, like you said, super aggressive. Penn State, let me scroll up to my numbers here. 6th in havoc rate, allowed explosive plays on fewer than 9% of their opponent's plays, which is just an insane rate. 12.5% sack rate, which led college football by 1.5%. So like second place was at 11%. And then 10th place, it was 4% higher than Arkansas in 10th place at 8%. So like just insane amount of havoc. And really not a weakness. I mean, 18th in drive efficiency, 5th explosive plays. These are the beta rank numbers. 2nd in negatives, 1st in rush, 17th in pass. So just a, you know, elite across the board. Interesting to see how Tom Allen comes in, if he kind of, you know, changes that a little bit. Penn State was also like 50% man coverage last year. I didn't actually look and see what Indiana is. I can I'll do that here in the next few minutes before we get to the defense. Two strong coaching additions. Indiana was one of the Big Ten teams where, you know, like you said, there was a gulf between them and Penn State, and then a big gulf between them and Michigan and Ohio State. But they felt like one of the friskier teams the last couple years. It felt like they were always kind of beating somebody, kind of punching above their weight, even though the win-loss record wasn't overly impressive. So,
This team's I'm just looking at the last year. They only allowed 20 points. I don't count the bowl game because, you know, there's always weird stuff with the bowls. They didn't allow 20 points until Ohio State, who scored exactly 20. Indiana scored 24. Michigan scored 24.
Yeah,
that was the highest scoring somebody was against Penn State. I mean, yeah, this defense was crazy. Lots of games without a single touchdown. So, yeah, solid unit. And, I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute, but just, like, incredibly deep unit, which I think is a good thing transitioning year to year. Returning production-wise, are 37th, so in the top half, maybe the top third of the country. Yeah, let's get into the offense specifically. So we talked about Drew Aller a little bit. So Drew Aller will be a junior. Last year, he was 28th in quarterbacks. With some filters on there of getting enough snaps. When we talk about PFF numbers, we're usually at least filtering to, you know, they have to have so many snaps to qualify. He was 28th in some of the filters I was adding on there. Just for reference, Garrett Green was 20th. So though Drew Aller probably got the better of Garrett Green in the first week of the season, yeah, that was maybe in the upper half of his performances for sure. He didn't really play good against Ohio State or Michigan, his two worst games of the season by far. Otherwise, pretty solid. I liked your analogy. You know, high floor, low ceiling. He got the job done. You don't hear it a lot with mobile quarterbacks as, like, game manager, but this was a talented team, and they outclassed a lot of the teams they played last year, and he didn't lose them any games. I don't know that he, like, single-handedly won them really any either, but he did his job as a sophomore quarterback, his first year starting. Yeah, did enough. I think you'll see improvements, and I think we talked about Kotal Nicki. You're going to see wrinkles in this offense. I wonder it early in the season. Clearly, we play Penn State the first week of the season. The trade-off of new coordinator and new wrinkles versus, like, new coordinator, new system, familiarity is not there. Where are they going to lie on that spectrum? That's sort of what I'm interested to see where is this offense going to be ready to play with all kinds of new fun gadgets on week one, or are they going to still be only they know 60% of the playbook and, you know, don't know their audibles and don't know all the fun stuff yet? That's sort of what I'm thinking with the system change, especially because I think Kotal Nicki is going to have some crazy stuff in there.
You know, unfortunately, I think the one game that Aller won, like, actually went out and won them, was the game against us, right? How many, I mean, had the big play to open the game. How many third and longs did he convert where he was kind of scrambling around and found a guy downfield? But yeah, no, I think that's the big thing. Like you're saying, how much of the playbook's open week one? I would call back to the Kansas game 2 years ago. That was the second game of the season, right? And they kind of unleashed it on us in that week. So, you know,
I have fully blocked that memory. So
I haven't, I have Kansas circled on the calendar this year. I wouldn't expect it to be too easy. I think they'll probably be ready to rock and roll, week one, and hopefully we come strapped up and ready to play. Because yeah, like you said, there's going to be some shit going on that we haven't seen before. So, yeah, the runner, just to finish with Aller, he was actually 10th in run grade among Power 5 quarterbacks with 30-plus rushing attempts. So had a 78.1 run grade, which is really good. Picked up 28 first downs on his rushing attempts. So, you know, when he was running, he wasn't a huge, you know, scramble-to-run guy. He's more of a scramble-to-throw guy. But when he did, he was converting first downs, keeping the chains moving, that kind of thing. So, yeah, you know, I mean, 5-star quarterback, huge expectations as a first-year starter. I don't think he quite met those expectations. But, you know, year two jump, he could be a really good player for them. I think, like I said, kind of in the lead, he's gonna define their offense this year. And if he takes a step forward, they're going to be really good again.
Yep. Okay, moving to the running back room. You know, they had two guys you mentioned that really shared a lot of touches last year. That was Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. So last year, let me get my numbers up. They pretty much split carries for the most part.
Exactly. Yeah.
To 172 to 171. Catron Allen with a little bit more. He averaged more on the ground, 5.2 a carry, 4.4 for Singleton. Catron Allen, 85 grade on PFFs, pretty high. yeah, I mean, solid year. You're getting both of these guys back. And then you get Aller, who is they also had Bo Pribula, which is a quarterback. He had a handful of carries last year, but Drew Aller carried the ball 36 times.
That's the dude who scored on us with like 10 seconds left on the clock. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying you pretty much get all your rushing production back. You know, they had a really good offensive line last year. We'll get to the O-line in a minute, but you got to feel good just the continuity. Once again, new offensive coordinator, new system. I'm not sure how much of that directly transfers, but yeah, this is a solid backfield. I think a lot of teams around the country would sign up for this backfield in a heartbeat. You got two solid, pretty proven guys. It's definitely not a weakness. I think it's fine. I think this is going to be one of the better running teams in the Big Ten for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, not many teams do the feature back thing anymore. But like when you look, these guys combined 325 carries, 1,555 yards, 14 touchdowns, 56 missed tackles forced. So, and I think Allen especially is a really good receiver out of the backfield. Singleton, I think, had some drop issues. But yeah, two very, very, very well-rounded players in the backfield. Nice for, you know, easing a new coordinator into there. So it's nice when you can lean back on the running game and get 4 or 5 yards when you need it. So yeah. You want to move out wide?
Let's do it. I just got to say, a weird profile for a team last year in the receiving. Two of your top three target guys were tight ends. It's crazy to me.
So. Yeah. I think nature of the offense that they ran, you know, old check down Aller out there, 6.6 yards per attempt. He's looking at tight ends a lot. You know, I think the other piece of it, they had two really good tight ends last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of them, Theo Johnson, has graduated to the NFL. He's, I want to say, a fourth or a fifth round draft pick.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fourth round to the Giants. I have it right here. But Tyler Warren was good, you know, as the second option last year. I think he had 29 catches, had 7 touchdowns. So he's somebody that they look to in the red zone. Expect him to kind of thrive, you know, as the primary target. And then I saw let me pull up my article here. I forget the name. But they have a freshman coming in.
Is it Julian Fleming?
He's a receiver. Luke Reynolds, freshman tight end. Dude who apparently was a quarterback until his junior year and was kind of like a mid-level recruit as a quarterback and switched to tight end and like shot up to like a high four-star tight end. And so, you know, he, like maybe he gets some tick. Maybe he's somebody who's kind of like a breakout prospect for them. Yeah. Tight ends are not the issue. I think the receivers are the issue, right? You lose a couple of guys from last year from a group who wasn't probably as productive as they hoped. And so that's kind of like a chicken or egg thing. Like, is that because Aller wasn't looking for him down the field? Or was it because they weren't making plays down the field? I think it probably would depend on who you ask. I would be interested to see, to hear a Penn State's fans take on that. But you're coming back. Your two main guys coming back from last year, Caden Saunders, who was a high four-star recruit, I think, 2 years ago. And then Harrison Wallace, the third, who I think is going to be a true sophomore this year, if I have my notes correct. I don't know. He's young. They're both young. Neither of them have done a whole lot at Penn State, but we're obviously highly touted recruits. But I think the big addition to the wide receiver room is Julian Fleming from Ohio State, former five-star. I want to say he was the number one wide receiver recruit in the country coming out, and then, you know, just kind of got lost in that room. Like, it's Ohio State's wide receiver room is a goddamn NFL factory. So, you know, not hard to understand how you could kind of get lost there. He played a lot despite that. You know, he played a lot the last two seasons. So, I mean, you're not seeing the field at Ohio State recently if you're not really, really good. But he wasn't overly productive, kind of graded out as an average starter. Graded out as 65.2 on 440 snaps in 2022. Last year, he was graded out as 61.5 on 552 snaps. Did not catch a touchdown last year. And so was that the Kyle McCord effect? Because Kyle McCord was kind of trash last year, right? You're going from CJ Stroud to that big drop off. But he, I think, is going to be an X factor for them, right? Like, if he kind of regains that form, becomes that that five-star dude who he was coming out of high school, you know, kind of like the Jameson Williams season. Like Jameson Williams leaves Ohio State, blows up at Alabama, right? Mm-hmm. Is Julian Fleming going to do something similar at Penn State this year? If he does, they're going to be really, really hard to stop, because that's kind of like when you look at this offense, the one thing they're missing is that primary playmaker on the outside. They just don't have a dude who has really established themselves as that to this point. So, yeah, what do you say? Anything else? What's your take on receivers?
Yeah, I think you pretty much covered it. I mean, I do think there's the average depth of target for Aller was pretty short. I feel like they were, you know, tight ends are usually quick, easy to get the ball to. I just don't feel like they were pushing the ball downfield as much as, like, is it they didn't have a weapon? Was it Aller can't make those throws? That was sort of the missing piece in this offense. Lambert Smith was their top targets guy last year. He's gone. Just looking at, I'm looking at Aller's like passing depth, doesn't really grade out terribly on the long passes. Like he connected on them. He had a 79 PFF grade on over 20 yard passes. So, it was like, he's probably doing the job. Yeah. You might need to see a deep threat emerge from that room, but this was the weakness of the offense last year. That was the only, position group that wasn't in the top four in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So on PFF. So, yeah, that, you know, you're looking for somebody to step up here, lean on the tight ends, but also you need a receiver. Maybe it is Julian Fleming to kind of step up and stretch the field. You know, last year they did benefit from the offensive line. That was a pretty strong suit of this team. They lost a few guys going to the league, but overall, I think this was a pretty good offensive line, and I think that maybe a slight step back this year, but I think they're going to be fine. I think it's sort of a trend I've just seen Penn State in general. They just have the depth and they get a lot of guys in. A lot of guys get snaps. So, I don't know. What do you think about the offensive line? I think it's going to be a decent position group for them.
Yeah, you lose Olo Fashanu, 11th overall pick. You lose Caden Wallace, a guard, third rounder. Hunter Norzad, a tackle, fifth rounder. I mean, it's, you know, it probably something we couldn't survive, right? But to your point, they recruit really, really well there. If you look at the depth chart, it's Drew Selton, a junior, one redshirt sophomore, so two guys who are in the third year of the program, then two redshirt seniors, and a junior transfer from Wisconsin, Nolan Rucci, who was a four-star transfer I think he was a 3-star coming out of high school. So a guy who made himself better. And then a guy they're really excited about, Cooper Cousins, who was the top rated interior offensive line recruit in the class of 24. On the two deep at center right now, wouldn't be surprised that, you know, if he steps in. I want to say they graded out 11th in power five and run block last year, 34th in pass block, which is about middle of the road. Maybe a small step back with, you know, three NFL draft picks losing, but I wouldn't expect them to be anything worse than above average. You know, certainly one of the better offensive lines that we'll probably play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, teams like Penn State and up kind of just reload in positions like those. Those are the hard positions to fill, but they kind of just have like factories. I feel like they just churn them out. All right. So let's flip to the defensive side of the ball. I'll just start. I mentioned this, but the thing that really struck me on the defense was just like insane depth. And I think a decent portion of this is like there were a lot of games that just went into garbage time and they were like afforded the benefit of getting lots of guys in, which is just an insane way to build a program is when you're winning so much that you can get the young guys into games to get them experience because it just feeds on itself. It's like a loop. But yeah, I mean, this was just a really, really good defense. You know, Michigan was also in the Big Ten last year, so they were probably the top two defenses. I think PFF had Penn State as second, but they actually graded higher than Michigan in pass rush. That was probably the big thing they had going for them. So I think you lose some significant pieces on this defense, but the depth factor, I think, maybe balances out. That's sort of my big picture on the defense. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. Yeah, you just look at the snap numbers. They had 25 dudes who played over 100 snaps last year, and only one who played over 500. The only person who played over 500 snaps was Abdul Carter. And so, yeah, that's just insane. And, I mean, yeah, to your point, right, like second team's getting a quarter a game pretty much, you know, for 8 or 9 games a season. And, yeah, all that does is, you know, it gets those guys confidence. You know, it's not the kind of situation where, like, they're going in and like relinquishing leads or letting whatever team they're playing like close the gap, right? You know, they're going in, they're putting their stamp on the game too. And if they're not, I'm sure they're hearing about it from the first team in the film room on Sunday and Monday. So, like you look at what they lost. They lose Chop Robinson, another first round pick, Adisa Isaac. So those are their two edge rushers. And I mean, you talked about their pass rush grade. Those were the two main culprits. Isaac was also very, very good against the run. And then they lose on the back end, they lose Kalen King, Daquan Hardy, and Johnny Dixon. And King and Hardy were both drafted in the NFL as well. So, I mean, you're losing 4 draft picks on defense. But, you know, to your point, like you look at some of these dudes who played, you know, and these are not guys who I would say were garbage time players. These are dudes who were cycling through with the first team, like when the game is still in question. All these dudes with like 200 and 300 snaps who are grading out in like the high 70s and like 80s. And it's just insane, dude. You know, it's just insane the depth, like the number of guys who they had where I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, I think I got to the point, like, I even have a note here, like, oh, the safety is the weak link at a 65.2, which PFF says is like a quality starter grade, you know? So,
oh, yeah. They have 12 guys who graded out on the season over 76 PFF grade. I'll just give you, so 76 was the mark. How many think West Virginia, how many defenders do you think graded out over 76 all season last year?
3.
There were 3, and it's kind of cheating because one only took 4 snaps. It's really just 2, Aubrey Burks and Mulba. So, yeah, that's the kind of just insane depth that they're working with here.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, I think the big thing to watch here is, so Abdul Carter played off ball last year. And it seems like, I don't know, based on the depth charts that I'm looking at, seems like he's going to make a transition to like an edge rusher. And this is something we've seen previously. It's the same thing they did with, Jesus Christ, I had his name in my head now, Micah Parsons. Parsons started as an off ball linebacker, and then they're like, you know what? Like, you're a really good fucking pass rusher. Why don't you just go do that and cause problems back there? I think you have to start with Carter just because he has insane hype. He's a freak athlete, elite pass rusher, 89.7 pass rush grade last year, 24 pressures, 4 sacks. And I think, you know, part of the justification for maybe moving him from off-ball backer is that if you look at the rest of his production, it was only kind of above average. Like, he had a pretty high missed tackle rate. Didn't have a ton of, like, you know, TFLs. Allowed a lot of completions when he was targeted in coverage. And so I think this is just kind of a thing of like, hey, you know, you're pretty good at all this stuff, but you're really fucking good at getting to the pass rusher. And so we're going to put him up front. On the other side, Danny Dennis Sutton, who was a five-star in the class of 22, graded out of the 74.8 last year on 378 snaps. He'll be the other edge. But, like, this is, you know, I mean, they have literally 20 dudes on their defensive line depth chart. And if any, you know, the last couple of years are any indication, I would expect that at least, like, 12 to 15 of them get significant snaps and are good. You know, they have all four of the dudes on the inside, Zane Durant, Devon Ellis, Keziah Izzard, and Hakeem Beamon, all graded out very well. I think Beamon was the lowest at a 69. On, you know, a couple hundred snaps. On the edge, Zariah Fisher, Amin Vanover, you know, these dudes, notable contributors, right? Dudes who we would gladly take on our team. So you just, I mean, it's just insane depth. I don't know, you know, I guess the one question mark I would have about their defensive line is losing Chop Robinson, losing Adisa Isaac, do you still have the same pop? I'm sure they do, right? It's just that these other guys haven't had the chance to be the featured guy. And especially moving Abdul Carter up there, I'm sure they'll be fine. But that would be the one thing I would kind of watch is, can they get to the pass rusher as well as they have the last couple of years? Because they've been, as I said, 12.5% sack rate was by far the best in the country last year. And, you know, they didn't, I don't think they blitzed a ton with their off-ball backers. You know, it's just their defensive line was kicking everybody's ass. So,
yeah, I mean, I think if the bar is what they've produced, especially like last year, that's a high bar. But I still think this team's going to get to the quarterback, going to get in the backfield, going to cause problems. I still think they're going to be pretty high quality in that department. Like I said, holding to last year's standard, this was a top five defense in the country last year. You're losing a lot of guys, and you know, I'm sure they're going to patch the holes, but. Oh, another trust.
took a little Walgreens run right before we hopped on, and I was worried because they weren't in the freezer, so I'm just drinking them raw, right off the shelf right now. Just raw dogging them off the shelf.
Just raw dogging the trust.
But God damn it, they taste good though. They don't taste great, but I trust the climb so much that I'm drinking them anyways. Linebackers. Thoughts on the linebackers?
Well, this is linebacker you, so you know that I don't think that changes. They got some dudes. Dom DeLuca is probably one of the best linebackers in the country. In grades, you look him on film, he's a monster. So he's a big guy. Also, Kobe King. I mean, he's probably your second best linebacker on the team, and he might be top 10 in the country. You know, they look quite strong in the middle of the defense. I as a fan of the team who has to play them the first week, I didn't really enjoy researching their linebacking core.
None of the defense. I didn't like looking at any of the fucking defense. DeLuca, highest graded returning defender in Power Four.
Defender.
90.7 grade. 212 snaps. He's a little bit of a smaller guy. He's like 6'1", 225, 230, but like plays weak side linebacker for him. And just, you know, makes an insane plays everywhere. He had an 89.3 run grade, 91.3 coverage grade. So like, where's the fucking weakness? You know, I mean, doesn't really rush a passer. So I don't know if you can count that as weakness. Like, that's just not a thing that he does. He just makes plays everywhere else, all over the field, sideline to sideline. Kobe King. Yeah, you said it. Ninth highest grade of returning linebacker in FBS. 88.4 run defense grade. So, you know, I think the two of them were both top six among returning defenders in run defense grade. Another excellent off the ball linebacker. And then kind of stepping into the Abdul Carter role. As I mentioned, Abdul Carter's kind of stepping into the Chop Robinson spot. And then Tony Rojas is going to step into the Abdul Carter spot. Sophomore, true sophomore who played a lot last year. I remember when we were doing this deep dive for them last year, and you're kind of like, just looking at the Penn State articles from the beat writers, right? Like, who are the freshmen who are popping? Who's looking good in fall camp? Tony Rojas was in every single one of these articles. Flash form last year. Had an 83.5 on 102 snaps. So, you know, he's playing about probably, I don't know, 9-10 snaps a game, but playing very, very well on those 9-10 snaps a game. So he'll step in as a starter. Don't expect much, if any, drop off there. Yeah, I had this down as the strength of the defense. I mean, the linebackers are insane. You look, I'm not even going to get into the depth because there's depth. You know, I guess the one name that might be familiar to Mountaineer fans is Tamir Robinson. He's a dude who we recruited 2 years ago. And I think we got down to his, it might have been between us and Penn State. He chose Penn State. He's on the two deep. Tyler Elsden played a lot for them last year. Kavion Keys did not. I did get into the depth. I apologize. I said I wasn't going to because we have blown past the 30 minutes, by the way, I feel like, or at least we're close. But anyways, yeah, linebackers are strength of defense. Secondary, let's move it.
Yeah, secondary.
You want my 10-second secondary thing? Here we go.
Yeah, I want your 10 seconds.
All right, so AJ Harris, transfer, former 5-star from Georgia, did not play much last year, but steps in, penciled in as a starter at Penn State. Cam Miller, who did play for them last year and was pretty good, not as good as Kalen Kang or Daquan Hardy, but, you know, right below them. He'll step in as the other starter. They got Jalen Kimber, cornerback from Florida. He's a senior transfer, so kind of like a contract year deal. And I was kind of surprised by this one because he was a multi-year contributor at Florida, actually started a lot last year and graded out well. So I don't know if he's just looking for a change of scenery or what, but three new starters at corner. You maybe expect a mini drop off from NFL draft picks, but I don't expect much of a drop off there. But then the safeties. Yeah. Zaki Wheatley at free is the weak link at a 65. So like quality starter is like the absolute weakest point of their defense. But then Jalen Reed at the nickel, 76.2 on 466 snaps, did not allow a touchdown last year when targeted in coverage. And then Kevin Winston Jr., insane box safety. Eighth highest graded returning defender in P4, graded out an 86.8 on 438 snaps, 90.9 run grade, and did not miss a tackle last year.
Whew.
Did not miss a tackle. So
I really didn't enjoy when we started talking about their defense because
you can poke some holes in the offense.
Yeah, the offense is like, oh, I don't really have the big play. But yeah, the defense is it's still really, really damn good, it looks like. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit all the main pieces in the secondary. Yeah, just I'll mention again, AJ Harris, 5-star Georgia transfer.
Yeah, must be nice.
Yeah, it just falls in. Oh yeah, I'm sure you'll get on the field. All right, so that's Penn State. Yeah, I mean, also, we mentioned it for offense. I'll mention it again for defense. New coordinator, you know, longtime Big Ten guy. So maybe some changes there, but, you know, I think Penn State has kind of stayed true to their identity for many, many years. Linebacking core looks just absolutely nasty like it always does. So they're doing the thing. They're out of conference schedule this year. They have to come to Morgantown, West Virginia. Then they get to play Bowling Green and Kent State. That's all they got out of conference. They dodge Michigan in conference. And then, like I said, they add in UCLA, USC, and Washington. Some interesting games. Yeah. All right. So now let's talk climb index. This is our wrap-up portion of the teams we're going to do. So CLIMB is an acronym, like Trust the Climb, CLIMB Logger. You get cohesion. So who you got back? Losses is L. Who'd you lose? Infusion, who'd you gain? Transfer portal or recruiting or coaching, whatever that might be. Menu, that's who you got on deck, who you're going to play against. And then our fun one is benefactor. So we picked a corporate sponsor for all of these teams that we felt represented them. So we for the first four, and that is the climb index for each team. So for your first one, cohesion, I'll go first here. We're rating this on a scale of 1 to 5. I gave them a 4. You know, they are 37th in returning production. I feel like a lot of the pieces on the offense, especially in the running game, come back. And the defense, I think just the depth piece.
Yeah,
you have so many guys who've played that. Yeah, you still have like a cohesive team on defense. I gave them a 4 out of 5 on D, or on altogether.
Yep. In the interest of expediting this, do you want? I mean, I think we're in lockstep on all these. Actually,
yeah.
Cohesion, I had a 4 out of 5. Losses, I had a 3 out of 5. You know, I think we mentioned. I think they had seven draft picks. the three offensive linemen, the tight end, actually eight, three offensive linemen and the tight end, and then two defensive linemen, two corners. So you're losing some dudes, but, you know, I don't think that it's anything they couldn't replace, right? Mm-hmm. So I gave it a three. Infusion, I think we both had fives. You bring in two five-star guys, two former five-stars. You add Kotelnicki, who, again, if Neil Brown got fired, I would have wanted us to take a run at him to be our head coach. Mm-hmm. So, menu of games. What did you have to schedule at?
I gave him a three. I think it's similar to last year where you got some tough ones. You got to go to Morgantown out of conference. That's not a fun addition. Obviously, Ohio State, Washington. But on the flip side, you dodge Michigan. It's like Kent State, Bowling Green, and then the rest of the Big Ten, which has never really caused them problems recently. So I gave them a three, which, you know, means probably better than average for them. They should be able to handle it.
Yeah, I think the stretch that's going to define their season, October 5th, they have UCLA, then at USC, at Wisconsin, Ohio State at home, Washington at home. So that's the five games in a row with a bye in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, come out of that 4-1, I think you're pretty happy. Benefactor.
All right. So my corporate sponsor, my benefactor for Penn State, it's an Amish country outlet. It's not flashy, but it's surprisingly quality. And that's kind of what I think of this team. They're not a lot of big plays, not a lot of you know, eye catching stuff from the quarterback or anything, but they get the job done.
I like it. So I had a tough time with this because spoiler, there is nothing in fucking State College besides Penn State. I had to dive deep. I had to go to my sources. I had a buddy who went to Penn State. I hit him up. I was like, "Hey, dude, like, who do you think of?" And he said Berkey Creamery, which is a Penn State institution. Ice cream shop.
Okay.
So
Berkey.
Berkey Creamery. My climb index, 15 out of 20. And, you know, I think overall, small stuff, you know, I think with Ohio State, they have a chance to tip those two. And unfortunately, it just coincides with Oregon and Michigan joining the conference. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if they can get it done. They certainly have the talent to get it done, but we'll see if they can. Over under 10.5 feels like a hard number to hit if you start 0-1.
Yeah, I there's not really margin for error for that, and 0-1's not going to get the ball rolling in the right direction. 10.5 wins. I mean, I don't know.
That's high. It's high.
That feels high for me.
And I said if they start 0-1, what I meant to say was when they start 0-1.
When they start 0-1,
it's going to be tough.
I can't wait till 3:30 on that Saturday when we have the best win in the country. It's going to be a really nice feeling.
Oh my God! All right, hey, Penn State. That's Penn State.
All right. Thanks as always for listening. You can catch us on smokymuskie.com, on Twitter at WVStatsGuy, at GameDayShorts, at WestByPod with underscores. Join the Discord where we talk to a lot of people who listen to the pod. We get our questions sourced from there, and then just general Smoky Musket game watching, whatever you're watching. Somebody's talking about it in there. So
it's the most electrifying community in sports entertainment today. I mean, it really is. It's really good stuff in there.
Oh man, it's fun when there's a good sporting event on. It's a good time. So definitely join if you're not already in there. And subscribe. Get the notifications because we're going to be dropping episodes all summer, getting you ready for this football season.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks as always for listening. We'll catch you next time.
All right. Take care, gang.
One.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.